Daniel 9:24. I'm going to read through verse 27. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The angel Gabriel told Daniel in answer to his prayer that 490 years had been determined for the city of Jerusalem and the Jews to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy place to do those six things. 483 of those years have been accounted for in history. They're past. They ended when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. And it's as though God clicked his stopwatch for Israel. And he pushed 7 years into the future. We're living in an age that was never spoken of in the Old Testament. Paul called it a mystery, but it's the time of the church. It's the time when Jesus Christ is calling for himself his bride. It's the time when grace is extended to Gentiles because of the blindness of Israel. It's the mystery age. But one day, God's going to take this group out to be with him. And amazingly, he's going to bring back in that final 7 years to finish for Israel what he started. Is he not a genius or what? It will be as though we were never here. God will finish that 490 years. Today we're going to be looking at those last seven years called in the Bible the tribulation period. It's also called Daniel's 70th week, that 70th week being 7 years. If you'll look in Daniel chapter 9, before we have prayer, ask God the Holy Spirit to teach us, because if he doesn't, I'm in trouble. Before we have prayer, think about this. The purpose for the tribulation is to purge Israel, not to punish them. That's what he's doing now because they rejected their Messiah. But this time will be to purge them like silver and prepare them for the coming of their Messiah. God is going to put them through a time that will turn their hearts back to a longing for the Messiah. Right now, Israel is living in rebellion to their God. They are a secular people. Many of them are atheists. Many of their political leaders are atheists. But God will turn their hearts toward home one day, toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he will use this 7 years to do that. So this 7 years, the tribulation period is designed, listen now, not for the church, but for Israel, the Jews, to purge them and to prepare them for the Messiah. And again, we're going to be looking at the last 7 years this morning, the 70th week, and in particular, at an interesting personality. Very interesting personality. And I want to introduce him to you today. Now, with that in mind, would you bow with me in prayer? Father, would you open the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our mind, to see by faith that which you want us to see, to grasp it, to understand it, to catch a glimpse of the coming tribulation, to catch a glimpse of the coming beast and what's going to take place in that 7 years in preparation for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Father, open our eyes to your truth, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we read in verse 27, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate." Many think, when they read this section, that the prophecy runs all the way through. All 490 years run right through without a break of time. But that's not true. In fact, there is a tremendous break of time. As I said, the 483 years can be accounted for that we talked about last Sunday morning. In history, Jesus Christ has been nailed to Calvary's cross. That ended that time. Messiah shall be cut off. And now we're living in this mystery age. So there's a tremendous break of time that's gone on for over 2,000 years. But breaks are not uncommon in the Old Testament. I mean, you read the Old Testament, and sometimes there's a tremendous break of time. In fact, Jesus himself, in Luke chapter 4, would you look there, hold your place here, and look at Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, Jesus Christ was in the temple. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now notice, he's the Messiah standing up, he's going to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, now notice, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now look in verse 20. "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" But here's the problem with that. He broke off the reading right in the middle of a verse. Look over in Isaiah chapter 61. Remember, he ended with "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," and then he stopped. And he closed the book, handed it back to the attendant. If you look in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, it's an interesting read. We read in Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1, This is what he read. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now that's where he stopped reading, right there. And he closed the book and handed the book back to the attendant. Why? And he with these words, he says, today this scripture is being fulfilled in your presence. It's being fulfilled right now, this part of the scripture. But notice where Isaiah goes. He says, this is where he broke. He says, and the day of vengeance of our God. Here's the point. That's future. That will happen at his second coming, not his first coming. Remember, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, the gentle Jesus. He came as the Mashiach. He came to die. He came as the Lamb of God. But the next time he comes, it's as the lion from the tribe of Judah. And he will not be preaching grace, but he'll have a sword, vengeance. That's yet future. So here's the point. He broke right in the middle of the verse because he's going to fulfill the first part of that verse during his first coming, but the last part of that section will be fulfilled at his second coming. Thousands of years have gone on now. That will be fulfilled in the future. Same is true with Zechariah chapter 9. Now, you don't have to turn there because I don't have time really to look at all these passages, but these passages are familiar to you, familiar enough to many of you that you'll catch the point. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, we read this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now that's verse 9. That's already been fulfilled, right? He came to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. But verse 10 says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That didn't happen at his first coming. That's yet future. Two tremendous events separated by thousands of years, yet we read them both in one verse, or two verses, one passage. The same is true with Isaiah 9:6. Now, you're familiar with this one. This was the one we use at Christmas every year. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Does that sound familiar? Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now watch this. When he came as the lowly Jesus, at that time, did he come as a ruler? Was the government on his shoulders at that point? No. But it's going to be. One day he will be a king, a ruling king. One day he will rule over the nations. Psalm chapter 2. That whole psalm talks about that. Big break in time. Although we read it, we can't see the break in there. It's in there in history. He came as the child. He came as a son. He came to die. One day he's coming as a king to rule. And one day he will be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we know breaks, they're everywhere. Back to Daniel 9, verse 27. The Bible says that God was going to extend grace to the Gentiles at a point in history. He was working primarily with Israel. He gave the Abrahamic covenant to Abraham. And later on, he became the father of the Jews. But he said, I'm going to extend grace to the Gentiles. I'm going to bring a time of blindness on Israel. I'm going to set them aside. But then I'm going to extend grace to Gentiles. Aren't you glad he did? I'm going to call other sheep, he says, from all over the world to myself. Other sheep have I, who are not of this fold, not of Israel, but other sheep are going to come to me. Well, we're living in that age right now where God is calling from all over the planet, from every nation, kindred, and tongue, people, a people for his name. That's why we're to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because people are being called to Jesus Christ from all over the earth. But one day, watch this now, he's going to call us out of here. We call that rapture. boom, we're going to be gone. God's going to begin move that 7 years back into the picture and work with the Jews. He's going to finish what he started. I want you to see, that's so fantastic. Now that 7 years are factored back in, the 70th week of Daniel. And what we're looking for now is we're looking for the Lord Jesus to come back and take us out of here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're not looking for this guy we're going to be talking about in just a minute. Although we know Israel is in for some very, listen, troublesome times. They're in for a time that will make the Holocaust look very light. And that's sad, isn't it? There's some huge storm clouds brewing for that little tiny country called Israel. Not just from the Arabs, but from a lot of different nations. They're going to be coming against Israel. We can see it in history. We can watch it happen right now on the stage of history. We see them over there now struggling to exist. But it's all wrapped up in a personality, an interesting personality. And that's what we're going to look at in verse 27. Look in Daniel 9, 27. Here we go now. Let's break it down. And he, notice that. And he, the he here is speaking of the prince that's to come. This is in contrast to Messiah the prince. Two different princes mentioned. We have Messiah the prince, the one that was cut off, but now, and he, this is the prince that shall come. Well, let's find out who he is. Look in Daniel chapter 8 just a moment. Flip back. Keep your thumb in Daniel 9. Look back in Daniel chapter 8. Look in verse 23. Here he's called the King of Fierce Countenance. Daniel 8, 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce countenance. Translation, having violent features, who understands sinister schemes. It's talking about a person. Talking about an individual. The prince who is to come. Look in Daniel 11. Jump forward a couple of chapters. Daniel 11, verse 36. He's called here the willful king. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. Look in Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. When they finish their testimony, now notice, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. Here he's called the beast. The willful king, the beast. Look in 2 Thessalonians. Let's see what Paul has to say about him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 first. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Now notice, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So here he's called the man of sin and the son of perdition. Same guy. Look down in verses 8 through 12. Same chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And then the, here it is, lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness or unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So here he's called the lawless one. Same guy. The lawless one. The son of perdition. The man of sin. The beast. The willful king. We also know him as the little horn. He has all kinds of different names. The beast, the evil one, the antichrist, the man of sin, the little horn, the willful king, all the same guy. Notice what he does back in Daniel 9. And he, that's the guy, will make a firm covenant with the many. Now we believe that this to be a peace treaty. He's going to make a peace treaty with Israel. And they're going to need peace. In fact, they're looking for someone right now who can bring that about. Someone's coming who's going to be able to do that. He's going to offer them peace. He's going to make a covenant with them, an agreement. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, you might want to turn there since you're that close. Here's how the beast, the evil one, the Antichrist, deceives Israel. He deceives them. He tricks them. He comes on preaching peace and safety. And if there's any people on earth who need peace and safety, it's going to be the Jews. Daniel 8:25, and through his cunning, notice, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and shall destroy many while they are at peace. He will also stand up against the Prince of Princes. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. And he shall be broken without hand. Now go look back in Daniel 9, verse 27. So he's going to make a firm covenant with the many. It says, for 1 week. 1 7. 7 years. That's a little glimpse of the 7-year tribulation period coming for Israel. 1 week. That's called the famous 70th week of Daniel. That's it right there. 1 week. Now notice, let's continue to read. But in the middle of the week, that is 3.5 years into that week, he will put a stop to the sacrifice and grain offering. If he puts a stop to the sacrifice, what that implies is that one day Israel as a nation is going to have to reestablish the sacrificial system. What's interesting, how many watch Charles Stanley on television from time to time? You watch Charles Stanley, great. He's one of my favorite preachers. I enjoy watching him, listening to him. I've been a fan of his through the years. But he went to Israel, and he came back with this story because of who he was and because of his support of Israel through the years. They allowed him special privilege, and they took him to see things. The Orthodox Jews have already set apart everything that they need to rebuild the temple. It's all there. It's all ready to go. It's all set apart. Charles Stanley made that clear to us. He saw it with his own eyes. All they need is the place. They need the Temple Mount, but they don't have the Temple Mount. The Mosque of Omar, an Arab temple, a Muslim temple, is there right now. They don't have control of the Temple Mount, but one day they will have control of the Temple Mount, and they're going to rebuild the temple there. And they're going to start the sacrifices back. That's why this person here, the Antichrist, can cause the sacrifice to cease, to stop. Now, what that tells me is that he's going to break his covenant with Israel. He's going to break that peace treaty. And he's going to turn upon them with a vengeance that has never been seen before in history. And for 3.5 years, called the Great Tribulation, he is going to purge Israel. He's going to attempt to exterminate the Jews. That's been Satan's desire all along, to exterminate Israel, to wipe them out. No nation on earth has been hated like the Jews. Think of it. Throughout history, no nation on earth has been hated like Israel. but God has protected them, supernaturally preserved them, and He will, even through this. But the Scripture tells us in Zechariah, two-thirds of the Jews are going to be killed during this time. Think of it. Tremendous bloodshed. There's going to be an attack on Israel, and we're going to take a glimpse of that in just a moment from one passage before I wind this time down this morning. Let's finish the passage now. Daniel 9:27. He will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now catch the idea, the words here. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. This reminds me of something. Hold your place here and look in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. This in mind, Jesus had already, in His Olivet Discourse, He met with the disciples there before He was about to ascend back into heaven. He's given some of His last instructions to the disciples. And remember, He told them that there's not one stone going to be left on the other, talking about the temple. And remember His famous speech? He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a mother hen does her chickens, but you would not. And behold, now your temple is left to you desolate, and you will see my face no more until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And one day they're going to say that. That's yet future. One day they're going to be, listen, there's going to be so much going on there. Those are those bowls of wrath, by the way, in Revelation. You remember those, the vials and the bowls that are being poured out, purging the Jews, bringing them to the point that they're going to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And as many of them are going to discover, it's that carpenter from Nazareth. It's that carpenter from Nazareth. It was him all along. It's him. He is the Mashiach. He is the Messiah. He is our King. And they're going to cry out to Him. And you know what? He's going to come back. And He's going to come back with a sword. And we're going to see the greatest rescue mission on planet Earth. Listen, Israel is the apple of God's eye. They are His chosen nation. He's not going to forsake them. Look in Matthew 24, in verse 9. Jesus is speaking here. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Boy, has that ever been fulfilled. "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved." That is, he who endures to that 7-year period will be delivered. It's not talking about eternal salvation. They're going to be delivered alive. They're going to be, listen, snatched out of the fire there. Now notice in verse 14, "And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Now look in verse 15, very important verse. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet." Did we just read that? Stop right. Did we just read that in Daniel 9? Yeah. Jesus said, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand." Now watch. I'm going to read a passage in your hearing. Just listen as I read Revelation 13:13-18. Listen to it carefully. Talking about the Antichrist, talking about the beast, talking about the man of sin, the little horn, the son of perdition. "He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast." Now notice this. "An image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. The false prophet is going to make an image of the beast, the Antichrist, in the temple and command people to worship him. Bow down and worship him. Jesus is saying back in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in the temple, when you see that. And then he says there, run for your lives. Woe be to those who give suck in those. Woe be to those who are pregnant with children. Be a tough time. Be a tough time. Run for your lives. Run and hide. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast and the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. In the Jewish gematria, the number that designates a man is the number 6. And the number 3 is the number for completion. What God is telling Israel here is he's a man. He's a man. He's a man. Now, wait a minute. What is he doing all the time? The great deceiver is saying, look, I'm God. Worship me as your Messiah. I am your God. But his name is telling them what? He's a man. He's a man. He's a man. Run for your lives. It's not God. Here's the deceiver. Run for your lives. Don't take his mark. Look in Zechariah 14. Look in verse 1. Because I just painted a picture now that Israel is going to be in a bad situation. Things are going to wax worse and worse and worse in the Middle East. They're not going to make peace with the Arabs, folks. They're not going to make peace with the terrorists. It's not wise for them to give up land for peace. Peace is not going to come, and a lot of the conservative Jews know that. And the Word of God tells us that. There's going to be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes back. And he's going to establish peace on earth. No peace for Israel. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. And I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Who's doing it? God is. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Now notice this in verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet, Jehovah's feet, will stand on the Mount of Olives. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Jehovah God, manifest in human flesh, will stand one day. Well, listen, he left from there. He left from there saying, I'm coming back. Is that not beautiful? Greatest rescue mission on planet Earth. Just before the beast exterminates the Jews, here he comes. The Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's coming back. How do we know that? Because God is a God of history. The Bible says He has determined the end from the beginning. Now listen to these words, and this is what we'll end. Watch this. This is Revelation 19:20. It's what I'm reading from. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped the image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Watch this. That's it. We know the end. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how clear it is. You have spoken to us and you have not stuttered. And Father, it's left to us to make a decision. We know that you're a God of history, that you have determined the end from the beginning, and we know how it's all going to turn out because we're students of your word. We just read it and believe it. But Father, I pray that as the voice of the shepherd goes out to the ends of the earth, that that voice is heard right here in our little neck of the woods, and that many here hear the voice calling them to Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late, calling them over and over again to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?